The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha, homage to all who are approaching this holy path, homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What would you like to look at this morning? Rebecca.
I would like to look at the assignment, the last assignment of the email class. And I believe it was to look and see, ask the mentor how we show up for others, and then to something like look, you know, talk about a process of how around physical fitness, around fitness and nutrition, that we can sort of implement or show up for ourselves as a service to all, basically, as there is no self and other in that way.
So to look at how it is that we show up for other people, and then to look at how there might be a commitment we could make to either in the realm of fitness or nutrition, that we could show up for ourselves in that same way that we show up for others, and then see how that would benefit the care of all sentient beings.
Yeah, I think that was the assignment. That's how I got. And what was interesting is that there was, even as I'm kind of having a hard time articulating it now, there was a lot of confusion when I read it. The first several times I read it, the mind jumped right to, we'll make a commitment for the next 120 days, and it sort of missed the whole, sort of the meaty part of the whole thing. And so this morning I actually did the first part, the picking up the recorder and doing it, and I thought, well, I'll just see what happens. I don't really get it, but I'll just do it and see what happens. And what I saw is how it just sort of fell into place. Oh, this is why that confusion was there, because what I saw was that it's all for everyone. There, I saw in kind of a fresh way that there is no self and others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you saw immediately. Now I'll just back up a little bit for those that may not be familiar with the recorder, that we have a practice of recording and listening, and we use the recorder as a tool to access the inner wisdom or the inner mentor. Mm-hmm. And so you were using that recorder this morning for that assignment, and you really saw where the confusion arose.
Or why. It was, like this, how we talk about it often as stupid dust to hide something that's really important and valuable for us to see. Uh-huh.
And was it that you saw that any kind of commitment that's made from that place of center is a benefit for all?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And even more, I guess more of what it was that I saw was how it's the point, let me see if I can say this. The point is having a way. So the commitment is the way, it's uh-huh. the path uh-huh. to carry out whatever it is that we're, you know, led to do, whether it's drink more water every day or run a mile uh-huh. a day or whatever, you uh-huh. know, or, you know, clean up a park or what, you know, whatever it is in that life is prompting this being to do, mm-hmm. the commitment is the way.
The commitment is the way to step into or manifest that which life is calling this being to do. It's like, I don't know if it arises, it's like the commitment is the structure.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's what arose for me too. The commitment is the structure. And that in doing that on even the most minute little thing, mm-hmm. it's serving all. Uh-huh. It serves all sentient beings.
And keeping that commitment or just making that commitment even for the tiniest thing, uh-huh. see how that serves all sentient beings.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that dropped in that was really fun to see that, you know, I've been looking at for a long while, is around how what has been going on with me is that process that we've just been talking about gets projected out into the public domain, like onto the government or onto, you know, good laws or good policies or good things like that. And that there's a, and that sort of like just exactly what happened with the email class, the, you know, meaty part of it all just gets skipped over right mm-hmm. to the, well, we need an ordinance, you know, that says da 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 or whatever, without making the connection that that's just the projection. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Without making the
without realizing that that's a projection.
That's projection. But so it's like looking out there for the government or whatever it is to provide that structure for what's actually the commitment of this person's heart.
Yeah.
Instead of that structure being provided from the heart as a commitment, it's projected out there
uh-huh.
on the government or the political,
uh-huh.
you know,
uh-huh.
and then it's like trying to get that external
to meet,
to line up and meet that
yes.
heart need, which
yeah, which
it okay. says it sounds like that is a disaster. I mean, it just doesn't provide any satisfaction. I mean,
if that's what we're doing, uh-huh. like if we're trying to get that to meet this need.
Uh-huh.
And on the other hand, doing that because that's what one is being prompted to do is a lot of fun. It's a fun yeah. game to play.
It is a fun game.
Yeah.
As if one is seeing it as a projection.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And gathering, it's, you know, the spirit of inquiry and gathering information
yeah.
about, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. It really does go back to it's not what, it's how.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what, it's how. Because playing politics, if you will, I've had some really fun times doing that mm-hmm. and did some great things and met some, you know, all of that kind of stuff. The karmic problem is when there's a expectation that is a process that will lead to something else.
Uh-huh.
Just
uh-huh.
like it would be a problem to think that if I can run 5 miles without stopping, that's gonna mean something,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, yeah. That expectation that somehow it's not the process that's, you know, it's that, well, when they get it together, then, you know, it's going to
yeah.
be this great outcome instead of just being in the process
yeah.
of gathering information and looking at and finding out more about this being and what's important.
Yeah, and the key there for me that dropped in today was that it's really the way, the path is mm-hmm. what is so is just so critical to get that, that's what we're doing, is we're putting in place in this life,
yeah.
these particulars, the way that we're going to be supported in living out the life that we want.
Mm-hmm. And putting into place the particulars that are going to support us in having the life that we want.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Instead of projecting out there for others to provide
yeah.
a life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any yeah. others, the monastery,
right.
the,
yeah.
Obama, anybody.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I've been learning the lesson from the mosquitoes.
Mosquito teachings.
Mosquito teachings. And I grew up in India, and so we used to, ever since I was a kid, and I even catch myself doing this unconsciously when I'm not paying attention when I go back, is, you know, there's a story about the boy who became this very famous being because he had a belt that said, "I killed seven in one blow." And what he actually killed was seven mosquitoes in one blow. And everybody thought that, wow, he's kind of...
He's a powerful guy. Yeah.
He can squat seven people down in one blow. And that's sort of the mentality that we're trained in, that automatic impulse around a mosquito is to destroy it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I find myself doing that. It's like, I even said at some point, it's the one creature that I don't want to be Buddhist about. You know? Because it's just interesting to watch how much discomfort I'm in, within quotes, when I do get bitten.
Mm-hmm.
And how much I don't want that. And I was going for a walk yesterday, and I stopped in front of this pine tree and just watched it. I mean, there were a zillion ants climbing all up its bark, and there was a worm inside the pine cone, and there were birds crapping all over it. You know, it was just such a teaching of, this is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Going back to the no self and other,
mm-hmm.
It's like, have all of me.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain way that I'm certainly not with mosquitoes.
what a beautiful image. Yeah, to just stand there in front of the tree and just say, and just see that it's just with life. Have all of me.
Uh-huh.
You know? The ants, the
birds,
the worms, the, you know, and it's not madly swatting with its wings to try and maintain.
No avoidance.
No avoidance.
And there's an open invitation.
Open.
And what I was watching, I spent a lot of time with family recently, and what I've watched is how much those voices are like mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And the levels of irritation, and what I mean irritation is not just that ego is getting irritated, but just the rawness of the system to the constant trigger. And what a process it is to avoid interactions, and because there's only a certain way in which I can be that is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And any of these other ways of being are irritating.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's not a new realization, but I think that what dropped in for me is how much the irritation ends up being a dismissal, a disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh God, I wish they would stop doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it arises in the same way that the conditioning was that to disrespect the mosquito. I mean, just like it's just not...
It's dehumanizing.
It's our de-sentient being. It,
yes.
You know, it's,
yes.
It doesn't deserve to live.
Yeah, and I've been practicing it for the last 1.5 weeks, which is that instant of irritation is an instant of disrespect. It is truly dissing God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how do we practice, and how do I practice training at that level of paying attention? Yeah. Not that we can't be present to the fact that when the mosquito bites, it's irritable. I mean, it's irritating, and there's a certain natural response to the trigger, to be with that without that moment into just tolerating, wanting to dismiss that sentient life form, whether it's my mother or the mosquito.
Yeah. Just being in that place of, sounds like describing of being able to step back into that larger awareness of just watching it all, and you know, not just being triggered by that what you describe a disrespectful impulse to just eliminate whatever that is that's irritating at the moment. As,
yeah, and without my part of the problem is to flatline all emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And so equanimity, like the pine tree, I mean, it drops the pine cone if it doesn't want to carry it anymore. Mm-hmm. But it isn't a disrespectful dropping of the pine cone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so just that always being in that razor's edge of acceptance of what is so, without going to that conditioned place of making it other.
Yeah.
It's just such an interesting, it's just been what I've been looking at.
And making it other, that's interesting with the flatlining, you know, that place of, you know, acceptance, but not going over into that place of like, oh, well, it's okay, you know.
Well, it dismisses me.
It dismisses you, exactly.
And there's no place for all if I'm not there. And that's the flatlining place, which is everything has to be acceptable and I don't get to have my feelings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that was the most, it related to the email class, the most poignant place I've seen is that when the body is just not been taken care of and has been stressed, it's almost impossible, at least in my experience so far, not to go to that place of other. Mm-hmm. Because the irritation, there's no reserves of awareness, reserves of energy to maintain the awareness and attention in a way that the impulse is not to snap, not to get irritated, not to snap out of the mosquito. It's like there's nothing here.
Yeah,
except ego.
There hasn't been that practice of taking care of this being with that same kind of snap, you know, it's like there's been a snappiness toward this being.
Yes,
And non-caring for this being. So, you know, of course, when those other irritations arrive, they're going to get the same kind of treatment that has been going on here.
Right. And I think it's just that it's become more and more obvious with the practice of taking care of the being and of making sure that this being is given all the respect that's supposed to be due to every other being. There's much more awareness of how the karmic tendency is to push through things, is to imagine I have that this being has an infinite capacity for work, and that you know, and an infinite capacity to acceptance without. And it is in the mosquito actually that I recognize how tired I am. That in my response to the mosquito, if there is the ability to just stay with the irritant as opposed to lashing out against it, it's such a clue of how much the being hasn't been taken care of, how much the energy sources of awareness have been exhausted by the ego process.
I mean, it's going back to what we were talking about earlier at the projection, you know, when it starts to, when we notice that we're projecting out there, that, you know, boy, I'd like to annihilate that person, you know, just to follow it back and see, well, what's going on here.
Yeah. So anyway, then it was a completely wonderful mosquito teaching. Thank you.
Thank you.
That really reminds me of a lot of what I've been looking at, especially the piece around, well, it's the thing of this is me, and it's my body, and it's my, they're my decisions, my life. And a number, a string of things have happened recently. I talked on the Thursday radio show about the that thing of scooping sawdust and realizing that, you know, I was kind of breathing in some of the sawdust, and I've done enough research to know that that's really bad for your lungs, right? And it, just watching this sort of habitual pattern that I would have of like, well, I'm not one of those wimpy people who can't, you know, I don't mind. It's all right, you know? And I'm, you know, I'm being careful, like I'm turning away, whatever. But just to realize the arrogance in that, mm-hmm. of that, it's like, these are my lungs, so I can decide whether or not sawdust will be breathed into them. Mm-hmm. And again, that, that disrespect in that. Mm-hmm. And then following on that, I had another experience of that place of like, pushing. I can do it, you know, it's up to me, And then something happened. I dropped a ball, you could say. Or I, you know, I forgot to do something, and it potentially could have had very significant consequences. Mm-hmm. It didn't, because life was very kind in that. Mm-hmm. But it pushed it enough that it really got my attention. Mm-hmm. And what I saw in it was, that is such an arrogant ego stance. Yeah. Yeah. That like, I can do it, it's, I, you know, it's my time, it's my body, it's my level of tired. So, as if I can make the choice to push, and that's somehow good, actually. That's somehow good because I'm doing this thing for the whole team. And then in that instance, it was such, oh, and just one other thing about it that was so amazing was, leading up to that, I kept having the awareness of how egocentric that was, but that it was still happening anyway, and I kept sort of saying, what's it gonna take? What's it gonna take? And the minute I realized that thing, I was like, that's because it just shifted everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's, that is, gosh, there's just such strong conditioning that it is our body and it mm-hmm. is our lives. And, well, we can just push this a little bit more and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not going to hurt.
But potentially me, but that doesn't have an impact on anyone else.
Right. But from that care of benefiting all sentient beings, you know, we cannot be excluded.
Yeah.
And the care is just, you know, saw needs to start here. And it's, how egocentric
it's so backwards, isn't it? Because if what we are, as each of us, is life, and so we're stewards of life, right? Then this, you know, the body that we're walking around in is our most intimate experience of life. Mm-hmm. You could say it's our most direct responsibility. Yes. I don't have say over the sawdust that goes into anyone else's lungs, but I do into these. Mm-hmm. So it's completely opposite where the conditioning is to, you know, do whatever we feel like to this body, and in a way, this is the place that we can take the greatest care.
Yeah.
And, as people have talked about this morning, that's the place that's caring for everything, which is what I really, really saw in that. So, if I have a set of responsibilities, then you could say, in a way, the greatest, the meta responsibility, is to take care of the being to be able to do those responsibilities.
Absolutely. That is to take care of this being is the greatest contribution to the whole.
Yeah.
And what an opportunity to, I'm projecting here my own, but you know, to break through some karma, big karma, to just stand still in the midst of that intense conditioning to just push and take care of, you know, some of it goes with gender too, but to take care of others and to realize this is the other.
Yeah.
And that if I truly, truly, truly want to take care of others, I will take care of this being.
Yeah.
Like you said, our own direct intimate association with life is just is this body.
Yes, and that's a critical piece of it, is that to realize there's a huge, I was hearing that in the last conversation, it's my experience that there's so much humility in it, which is so beautiful. Yes. It's one of the greatest gifts of practice, it feels like. And that humility to realize, whoa, the habitual unconscious stance that has this sort of heroic quote, you know, blah, 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 is completely reinforcing an egocentric way of being.
Yeah.
And what's possible for us is to realize, wow, the bigger perspective is to truly support what supposedly I'm doing all these things over here to be the right person, to be good, to do, quote, for others. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really saw that recently. Wow, there's no such thing as that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I'm one of those people that just, I always put myself second. I put other people first. No. At least in my experience, that is never what's going on. Ego's being put first.
Exactly.
You know, in that, ego's being put first, because no one is served in that. Mm-hmm. And that in that, coming back to, you know, caring for this being, or however you want to say that, it's like life is being served.
Absolutely.
In that. And that, yeah, just like you said, the karma is the thing that's being blown through, and ultimately, that's the gift for this person.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's just, it's not even, what was arising, it's not even just taking care of this being so that they're, that we can, you know, more to be of service, but even being of service in the demonstration of that care of that being, what a gift that is for everyone to see that, you know, to experience that.
Yeah, so yes, exactly, like you said a few minutes ago, we get to do things like, so in that karma, of course, you're never going to ask for help, mm-hmm. right? Because what does that say? I can't do it, and then to realize that is so completely the most generous thing to do, to ask for help.
And it circles around to that place of humility again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, well, I've tried to do this from my ego for, you know, and it's just,
Yeah, and it was so fun because right after that really big wake-up moment, there was an offer of help came in, and I watched it's all right, we'll be fine. And I was like, oh, you know what, I need to accept that. And I was just in that, it was such a great behavior change moment.
Absolutely.
Because the insight had happened, the awareness, the change in consciousness was there, and then the choosing the change in behavior allowed the change in consciousness to really take hold.
And there was the humility there to see that life had been had offered a gift.
Exactly.
And I accept it.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen.
I think this ties in with what we've been talking about today. And when I was doing that last email class, and I think talk to the mentor about why I would want to show up for the being and keep the commitments, or show up maybe for all beings, or like, why would I? Like, why am I going to? Or something like that. And so what I've been thinking, or what's been dropping in a lot this morning, is about the relationship with the body. Mm-hmm. That I think prior to this email class, my relationship was with like the food, or with it's hard to put into words, but in the email class, the relationship, it's like a new relationship was born, there was a new falling in love with the body, and in a way that I had never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm just looking at that in relationship to all kinds of things. That's the reason I want to keep the commitment, because of the love that's there for what I've been given.
So a new relationship with the body since working with this email class.
Yeah.
And that it's that is where the commitment now is coming from this place of love for the body.
Yeah, it just feels, it's like I'm all of a sudden looking at everything as everything is, the question would be, how am I in relationship to, like, where is the relationship? I mean, it's all going on in here. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, a lot has been dropping in this morning. I took a walk around the property and I'm having some thoughts of back home dropping. And this is like a really radical thing for me to even consider, is that I feel my job or my work beginning to fall away. Mm-hmm. And it, so that came in this morning too, and it's because I think I always had a different relationship with it than mm-hmm. I do now. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden that relationship is just, I want, the relationship is in here. It's with this mm-hmm. being.
Might you say that, like, just what we were just discussing, as you said, you know, that the attention has switched to the love and care for this being, and then that is changing some externals that you have had relationship with, like your job and food and other things.
Yeah, big things, mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. big things are starting to, like, you know, I don't know, there's that little earthquake sense.
Uh-oh, the plates are shifting.
What's going on? Yeah, the plates are shifting. And anyway, I don't know what else it's kind of new. And I don't know, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot dropping in about that. Mm-hmm. But it's fun for me to consider just, you know, things I thought were sort of set in stone just aren't. Uh-huh. And things when I came here, I could have just told you what the plan was. Mm-hmm. And now, it's like the whole plan is, well, there just isn't one. So, anyway, it's, well, it's just all relationship, and I guess that's all I know. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. So. And it just sounds like something really new. The image that arises is just like tender green shoots. You know, there's just mm-hmm. this new experience of something that's growing and shifting and possibilities opening up. And from a place of, like you said, just from a place of love.
Yeah, but from a place of caring for the being, like mm-hmm. maybe it's her turn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's life's turn, and maybe it's,
I just wanted to share a little bit about mosquitoes and a little bit about accepting help, because we're talking about health issues. Years and years ago, I read an interview with Aung San Suu Kyi in Tricycle magazine, and she was talking about that she doesn't swat mosquitoes away or kill them. She lets them bite her because they need her blood to live, and she just accepts that. And I've always thought, okay, I'm never ever going to be a good Buddhist. I'm never ever going to, I mean, it's okay, I'm just never going to be a real Buddhist because I just can't do that. And it's great to hear that. This is a pretty universal struggle we all have, I think, finding those, you know, where are those boundary lines that mm-hmm. we draw, and how we struggle with those. So that's good. Because I've been holding on to that for 20 years now.
There's been this standard in place for 20 years about how one needs to be a perfect Buddhist in relationship with mosquitoes, and it's just, that's really fun to see. I mean, it's like, how many standards that get set in place for us that we can't possibly meet? And we keep, and we hold on to those as proof that there really is something wrong with us, so.
Yeah, so yeah. We really, really never can get there.
Never
so
really.
Why do we really even try?
Right.
Yes.
Right, so to let that one go this morning.
I'm letting that one go, yes. And also accepting the fact that Buddhism is a practice. You're constantly practicing it. There's really never any place to get to.
Yes.
It is something that you don't arrive. I'm not, you know, maybe when I get to Nirvana in 100 lifetimes from now or whatever, I can say I've arrived, but I'm not thinking of that far in the future. The other part I wanted to talk about too was the accepting help that I just as that was being shared about the difficulty with accepting help, I realized that a few weeks ago I did have a little bit of a breakthrough in that area that I hadn't even realized until I was hearing about it, because I don't, especially in my kitchen, I don't like to help, and I'm very particular about how I like things prepared and how I like my lettuce cut and washed and dried and all of that. There, I have a whole process around it, right? And any way but my way is the wrong way. But I was having a birthday party for my daughter, and my younger sister showed up and offered her help, and I really needed it. There was no way I was going to get this ready in time without her help. And I was able to just let that go, and she washed and she made the salad completely differently from how I would have, and it was fine. And you know, and it all turned out fine, and I was able to just relinquish that and enjoy the salad. So that was I didn't even realize it at the time, but.
So just realizing for the first time this morning that was a big opportunity for acceptance for you, and to just accept different ways of doing things, and that your sister showed up. She was willing to make the salad.
Yes.
Was way different than how you would have made it.
Yeah.
And it was a great salad.
Yeah.
And you appreciated the help, and just knowing at that time, again, you know, the ability to say yes, recognizing that help was needed and accepting it, and also being present to enjoy it.
Yes.
Yes, and not hanging on to your own conditioned standards about how it should be, but just enjoying that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Is there more about that?
That's it. That's it.
Good.
Thank you.
So I have a little bit of resistance arising, so I want to just jump in and say that.
Go where the resistance is.
Yeah, go with the resistance. You know, this email class, it's interesting because the way it's being framed is I've participated less in this email class than anyone that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true or not. But that's the way it's being framed by conditioning. And it's fascinating because, you know, health, nutrition, you know, it's kind of my favorite thing in a way. So just hearing the conversation this morning and kind of, you know, looking at the relationship with the body and health and, you know, people exploring and looking quite deeply, I project, at different areas of, you know, relationship with the body and how we, you know, how we interact with that and how we hold that and kind of the non-personal element to it and the responsibility and these types of things. The resistance, it feels like, is the conditioning is taking that place of, you know, you're not participating, you're not looking, what this means about you is such and such. And so it's just fascinating to kind of watch that as a process arise and to step back and, you know, question it, I think, is what I'm doing.
Yeah, to step back and question. It is interesting. This is an area that you have a lot of interest in and that you've seen a lot of resistance arise to the class. And you're hearing a story that you haven't maybe participated as much as you have in other classes.
Yeah.
And Yeah, and you can, I don't remember if you said this, this may be total imperfection, but that it's easy then to see that there's a big payoff here for conditioning for you to believe those stories that you haven't participated as much in, that, you know, that there's really a lot of resistance. That there might be something here.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad you framed it like that, because I think it's, you know, the content would be the email class. But I think just in practice in general, or in life in general, that's part one of the big things that I often will look at or see is this place of, it's supposed to look a certain way, you know, and often that is referenced through a projection about how others are looking. And so there's this kind of like, well, you know, it's this pattern, it's this setup, this standard based on some, you know, ephemeral projection about, you know, somebody else, which isn't about somebody else at all, or other people, so much as a standard that conditioning sets up about how it's supposed to look and also how it's supposed to feel, you know, and what's supposed to be happening with it and stuff. And yet when I take a step back and just look at it from a different place, you know, I can see quite clearly that in some ways what I'm practicing is relaxing and letting life come to me. And I think that might be really, really triggering this whole conditioned system in a way, because it's like, you know, you're supposed to be really into this, and being really into this looks a certain way, and it sounds a certain way, and it expresses a certain way, and all these things, and yet I think what I'm doing is having my experience of it, and that's not okay by the system standard or whatever. And yet I, you know, actually I'm really enjoying the pace at which I'm approaching all of this when I really step back and look at it.
That's good to see.
Yeah.
Actually there's an enjoyment of the class. Mm-hmm. And what keeps arising. I mean, this is the one class we got that great note from the guide.
Yeah, totally.
You know, which it just sounds like it was describing exactly what's going on with you.
Yeah.
That resistance, you know, and I'm not doing this right, and, you know, I'm not putting all my energy into it, which is is awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just a process of noticing all of those. And the thing that strikes me about it, too, is that, you know, in the way that conditioning would set it up, you know, putting all of my energy into it and kind of, you know, there's a militancy to it. You know, there's a place of like it gets to that place of like there's a right way to do it, and, you know, there's a good way to do it. And, you know, some of those overtures are kind of in there, if you will, implicit in it. And, you know, I think the whole, on a bigger view, and like the whole orientation that I have towards practice, life, this being, which perhaps are completely inseparable, which is different ways of saying the same thing, is, it feels like there's a possibility of a whole new orientation, or a whole new orientation is arising, and a whole new way to interact with life and interact with the world, you know, this caring for this being, health, whatever the content is, kind of thing. And it's bringing up a lot of, I think this is, I mean, I actually don't know, I'm just saying this right now, this is all just kind of arriving, but it feels like the resistance is clearly, conditioning's resistance to a more kind of relaxed and open orientation towards life, as opposed to kind of that driven by ego to kind of, you know, participate or be in a certain way. And so there's still a lot of grayness around it. You know, there's a lot of confusion. You know, I don't really see the moving parts just yet, but I'm beginning to get a sense that, there's like a whole new world or a whole new orientation that's just beginning to get glimpses of, and there's a lot of resistance that is attempting to draw attention away from that possibility. I don't know if any of that's true, by the way. It's just what's occurring.
So just, yeah, so exploring maybe a whole new orientation of just relaxing into life, mm-hmm. instead of that striving and pushing and
yeah.
And what arises with that is that, of course, that's going to be, if there, you know, if one is practicing with a different orientation, there's going to be discomfort, and you know, it could be interpreted in many different ways. One of them might be resistance, but you know, to just bring awareness to that, mm-hmm. and to just watch it, and to not, you know, maybe get caught into the story of
what it means. Yeah, like conditioning is laying it out one way, mm-hmm. and yet, you know, the opposite is likely going on for the being.
Yeah.
I don't know why this story is dropping in, but this just came in. When I was in high school, my favorite class was health. We had a class called health, and it was great. And I was really committed to it. You know, it was probably the only class I was really committed to, actually. And which based on that, I showed up for more than 3 days a week for it, which is a heroic effort. And so the teacher was this wonderful, wonderful fellow, you know, kind of Olympic wrestler, and you know, just a really good guy and stuff. And he did this one exercise in class that I'll never forget. And I think, you know, this was, you know, I forget the topic. You know, he picked a topic and we were going to debate it as a class. And so, you know, he had, okay, everybody who kind of is in agreement with this topic, go on the one side of the class and you'll debate that side. And then everybody who kind of disagrees with this topic, you know, you guys all get on the other side of the class. And it was like a week-long project or whatever, and, you know, we'd have to prepare our arguments, and then we're going to have a big debate at the end of the week. And as soon as everybody got settled into their sides, he said, okay, now you get the opposite argument. You know, he kind of switched the whole thing around, and everybody was kind of... And I don't know why that's coming in, but it just kind of feels like that in a way, in the sense that, like, you know, conditioning is always putting up, mm-hmm. you know, that which isn't. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like where at least this being gets duped is going along with the fact that, like, yeah, I'm the opposite, you know, I'm whatever conditioning is saying.
Yeah.
And truly, kind of the life experience might be one where, you know, maybe the opposite is true. You know, maybe there is an opening. You know, maybe there's something else going on that I don't see. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, if I run with the resistance, if attention goes to all the resistance, then I never get a chance to kind of find out for myself, maybe there's a different thing going on.
Yeah. 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 It could just be, of course, the blog of opposites. You know,
yeah.
Maybe a good time to reread that, and mm-hmm. just, you know, to just look at possibly the opposite going on of what we're being told, mm-hmm. and what a great practice for conditioning to. That I think that debate image is great. You know, to switch.
Yeah. Switching.
To switch it. Just yeah. You know, keep switching it up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Yeah, so, and I've also been, you know, inspired this morning to kind of relook at that last email class from a different perspective, too,
mm-hmm.
and to see it kind of with the input of what everybody talked about, mm-hmm. you know, minus the resistance, mm-hmm. It would be really fun to kind of check that out and see what that, you know, see what it looks like now, if you will.
The value of Sangha.
Yeah, the value of Sangha, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. There have been some big experiences around acceptance, mm-hmm. that I'd like to explore a bit.
Sure.
There's a big resonance listening to it talked about the seeing the egocentricity of deprivation in mm-hmm. new ways, and you know, there's been lots of seeing the egocentricity of deprivation that hadn't been recognized before as deprivation.
Uh-huh. That's a great point. One needs to see it first as deprivation.
Yeah.
You need to, yeah.
Right, because there's a conditioned picture of deprivation, which is, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, eating gruel, and it's very caricatured, mm-hmm. and
So the setup is, well, that's easy to recognize.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we definitely know deprivation when we saw it. Mm-hmm. And of course, and the marvelous process is that deepening awareness of processes that are deprivation and uh-huh. egocentric in nature. What I've been watching is how insights about the egocentricity of deprivation have been folded into a battering cycle of like the next egocentric process of a decision to be perfect mm-hmm. and not do those things anymore. Mm-hmm. So taking an insight about what is egocentric and folding it into an egocentric process. And there's just, you know, there's that kind of getting it that if I'm practicing deprivation here, then I'm practicing deprivation everywhere mm-hmm. of all life. And with all of that looking, there's just been a new opportunity for acceptance to really see all of that battering cycle, mm-hmm. and choose instead acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in seeing, again, just in paying attention and starting to notice that, oh my gosh, their deprivation is not just attached to a particular form mm-hmm. that I've been conditioned to believe, but yeah. indeed that it includes a lot of processes that I've been unaware of. Mm-hmm. And then watching that being folded into that another egocentric process of the battering cycle. Well, mm-hmm. now I've seen that deprivation. Now I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I'm going to yeah. be perfect.
Yeah.
And to just watch that all and now I've lost what you came to at the last there with seeing all of that.
Acceptance.
Yes.
Good
yes.
old.
Yes. Yes. And it's all just bringing about more acceptance yeah. to just see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow there was an experience of really receiving acceptance somehow. Yesterday, and I can see how the experience was kind of a teaching in that, which was when we were moving the brush from one place to another, and there was a delight and appreciation of how all of the pieces of branch and twig were making all of these beautiful sculptures as we were gathering them into piles mm-hmm. to be carried, and how there was this one, you know, and each branch was a sculpture unto itself, and then we were putting them in a bigger pile, and that was another, you know, it was just, there was a, like, yeah, a delight in how amazing all of that was, and there was the branches poking into the arms, and that kind of, you know, the scratching, and as we were kind of moving and just, you know, in that rhythm of gathering, picking up, moving and placing down, what dropped in was that, like, it's hard, let's see, it was a feeling of, I don't care if the intelligence of life never bestows another insight through this form. Without acceptance, it's all just more playing in a burning building.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. just seeing that acceptance is needed, if insights just dropping in without that acceptance
yeah.
Are just children.
just all yeah. more.
All
more playing in a burning building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that somehow seeing the insights being funneled into a battering cycle. There was just an unwillingness to allow that to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a dropping of the being avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, because it's that ego process that's avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, because it can pretend that this is going to make us turn us from the wrong person into the right
that
person.
That we're really getting right. It's, yeah, it's more, yeah, just trying to get fixed and be the right person.
Yeah.
And so the acceptance you talk about is just really accepting that this is going on for this person. And this is how it is. And it, as you say, this is accepting the poking branches and the beautiful sculpture.
Yep.
It's all just, it's not like going to this place of, well, now I got to fix the poking branches and, you know, and which, you know, and just kind of fold it into that. But to just be there in that place of acceptance for all of it.
Right, right. Because the condition process is the moving to a pseudo-Zen equanimity. Just an unwillingness to allow the experience of the human to be erased and dismissed in that way.
Mm-hmm. The experience of the human to be
erased.
Oh,
dismissed.
And dismissed.
Disrespected.
And not to say that one can't do something about the poking branches. It doesn't mean the acceptance doesn't mean that, oh, okay, I just gotta be poked.
No, it wasn't.
Right. But part of that, part of that is just seeing and accepting and opens the possibility for, taking care of the being in a really genuine way, a way that's in accordance with life.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, the fabulous part was, because there was presence and acceptance, there was that ability to respond, that, if there was poking, just do a little bit of readjustment.
Right. Or get some longer gloves,
and not be kept in deprivation.
In deprivation.
So just really putting acceptance. As if aware, I just corrected myself, as if awareness would be the wrong thing. but keeping acceptance as really a focus and, kind of the kind of first process of the most fundamental process.
Keeping acceptance is the most fundamental process, or first process, rather than the folding it in to the egocentric process of trying to change it or fix it. But to just practicing with that at place of acceptance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have 2 minutes, and I saw some hands waving over here, I think. Yes.
It's been interesting looking at where I am today and thinking back 5 years ago before my practice and where I've come. And, just the practice of awareness and seeing it in all areas of my life and feeling a lot of gratitude for practice and what I've been doing with my sitting. And so it's interesting, living life on life's terms and really trying to sit back and watch things and not trying to force solutions and that kind of thing. That life presents things sometimes that I'm just not prepared for. And so recently I've discovered that there's some unresolved anger. And directed at somebody in my life that I think for 5 years I just haven't looked at. And it's presented itself, and it's, kind of being new to practice, it's hard for me to look at anger sometimes. And knowing how to just let it unfold, whatever it is that I'm feeling, but that being able to present that anger to that person in my life would not be a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's a new opportunity for me to be going through this, through sitting with it and just on my own, you know? And so it's kind of like I felt like I was, you know, being able to look back and have so much gratitude, and I continue to have gratitude, but it's a challenge right now in my practice to sit with this anger. And it's kind of like, well, a good Buddhist doesn't have anger, you know, which I know is my conditioning just really just feeding on this.
Mm-hmm. So just really looking and appreciating practice and how it's supported your life, it sounds like, for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it looks like maybe you're looking at another, like it was the mosquito belief that, you know, that a good Buddhist doesn't have anger. Mm-hmm. And yet there is this person who is having an experience of a lot of anger surfacing, mm-hmm. Questioning what to do with it. Not really actually seeing that it would not be, and I don't remember what you said, might be even harmful to direct it toward the person that you feel is the generating the anger. Mm-hmm. And just sitting with a lot of questions about, well, what does one do mm-hmm. with emotion like anger? Mm-hmm. And how does one hold it? Mm-hmm. And I think you were also saying that just seeing that, and what we discussed in the group this morning, that all experiences are within the container of life. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. anger, mosquitoes, all of it, mm-hmm. lettuce chopping. You know, everything that you know, and finding your way with. How do I hold that experience, make it okay for this person? And it sounds like not wanting to have it be harmful mm-hmm. to, not to this person mm-hmm. or to anyone else.
Right, and it's that whole, you know, suffering. And I feel like holding on to that unresolved anger, it does cause me to suffer on a certain level. Mm-hmm. And I want to be free of that, mm-hmm. and I want to be free of it right now, mm-hmm. rather than just allowing myself the process of feeling it and not knowing when I'm not going to feel that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know? And there's kind of this franticness around, you know, I've been on the computer, like, when's the next retreat? When's the next email class? You know, like, I feel like I have to fix it, and mm-hmm. so I'm, like, frantically looking for something, and I was like, oh, registration for the next, you know, retreat is closed, so what's my next opportunity, and so just trusting that it's unfolding exactly as it should, and to sit with it, and that my anger, you know, has a place in this body, and just as much joy does, and you know, my gratitude towards this anger, which I never thought I'd hear myself say, you know, but it's an opportunity to practice yet again.
Giving you another opportunity to see all the parts that make up this being and this mm-hmm. being's life. And as you said, it's been there for a while and just been unaware of it. Mm-hmm. And to finally have that brought into awareness, you know, there's gratitude for that. And I'll just add as, you know, too, that hitting inanimate objects is a fine way to deal with some of that energy, you know, in a safe environment that is like not harmful to anyone, mm-hmm. And to just be with this being's anger, and to keep showing up mm-hmm. and keep talking about it.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you all.